sounds stereophonically recorded that we think will enchant you. Familiar sounds, in most cases, sounds that you'll enjoy. There's some music involved a little later, but that's not exactly what we're doing for the moment. We want to appeal to your senses. We're a cinch to appeal to your ears, but I have a feeling that we'll appeal to your eyes too, because you'll be trying to see the sounds that you're hearing so clearly. In fact, you might as well close your eyes during the first few seconds of this one, or you'll go crazy trying to see.
Welcome to the Morning Report with your host Kevin Insko, KE3VIN.
Okay, good evening. This will be episode 5 of the Morning Report. Today I want to talk about PDAs. If you've been following my blog at mymorningreport.com, which is the companion product, I guess, this podcast. Well, actually, this podcast is a companion product to my blog, but it's an extension of my blog. But anyway, PDAs. Spent the greater part of 2007 really making a lot of this. It's going to sound daft to some people, but I spent a greater part of this year, actually it was about a year ago, CES, that's what it was, right before the Apple iPhone got announced, that I really put serious thought into how to replace my Palm, which people who know me know that I love and adore Palm and Newton, the original way of using a personal digital assistant. Okay, well, after all that time, I've come to the conclusion that I want to stick with Palm. I'm too much in love with its interface. I like the touchscreen, although it's a stylus. It's still a touchscreen. Half the time on my current Palm iteration, which is not current, it's a legacy product, but I liked it, that's why I bought it on eBay, but it's a Sony Clié, it's a November Zulu -90, which is the largest end unit they ever made. The reason I picked that was, at the time I couldn't really afford a Life Drive, which is Palm's largest storage capacity, and currently still is, it's still a product, largest storage capacity unit. I think it had an upward storage of 8 gigabytes, not sure, shouldn't say from memory. But the NZ90 basically will take a Sony stick, a memory stick, which the largest I believe I can get nowadays is a 4 gig, plus the already internal 32 megabytes. It has the largest storage at the time for any Palm OS device. That's what I'm currently using. And I often use my fingers. I put a little protection screen over the glass to keep smudge marks and scratches off. So often, in a pinch, I'll use my fat finger and very skillfully acknowledge my checklist as I'm shopping in the store, picking out the items that I've already pre-planned what I'm going to get. And guys, you know that story. Well, you know, it occurred to me late last year, 2006. Well, okay, we're now in 2008. It occurred to me in late 2006 that it was time to find something to replace my Palm. Two big complaints with generally Palm devices. One, the web, there's practically no web presence unless you buy a Trio or maybe a Centro with a phone. In other words, unless you get a smartphone, there's essentially no web browsing. Now, I think the middle tier Palm, the current Palm product, Tango X-Ray, I think it will do Wi-Fi. I think it has a Wi-Fi card, and it will do Wi-Fi browsing, but it doesn't do phone browsing. It's not a phone. It doesn't have a phone, you know, circuitry in it. And the NZ90, or many of the Clies, well, not many, but the upper-end ones have a wireless. In fact, I do have a Whiskey Lima 100 wireless card that goes with the NZ90, and I have used it. I verified it does work. The problem is that I didn't get with it in the bundle of software and the disks, I didn't get the browser. There's a special browser, and I want to say NetKitchen. I don't know why I want to say that, but there was some special browser that was bundled with the Sonys and some of the early Palms as well that did web browsing. But all in all, the web browsing on a Palm is not a pretty or pleasant experience, and it's just not made for it. First of all, the Palm OS, which the current is the Garnet OS, OS 5, and all the older OSs, are not really multitasking OS. As far as I know, they're not reentrant. They're not really designed. They're not threaded. They're not designed to handle multitasking well. And so that makes any kind of a TCP IP stack or networking stack very difficult to implement. It's just not a pretty thing. I actually had high hopes. I'm one of the five people in America, according to the blogs I read when this happened, that we're actually looking forward to the Folio, the Palm Folio. The reason I look forward to it is because it would have a Linux OS with Palm applications on it. Well, you know, as you know, at the last minute they killed the project. I'd actually like to find one of those. I keep checking eBay, thinking that, you know, supposedly have thousands of boxed units ready to go, ready to ship, and they killed the project. Well, they killed the product. And I'd love to get my hands on one of those units that was already QA'd and boxed ready to ship. I don't know if they'll ever see the light of day, but if anyone has one or knows how I can get one, I really would like to see that. That's the BlackBerry in the background. Coming through the car speakers. Well, so, here comes, first of all, my first attention was diverted to the Nokia internet tablets. I started hearing talk about the 770 Nokia tablets in late 2006. Only mild chatter at first. I barely gave it a head wave. And then, I think, about a year this time, and by the way, I'm driving home from work, it's January 3rd, 2008. About a year ago this week, because it was before CES, I started hearing about the N800, Nokia N800 internet tablet. And as you know, I bought one back in November, so I've had one. I own one. It's broken now. It's not working. I've gone into that in the past. I won't rehash that. Look in the blog if you want to find out the details of that. That seemed to be the answer at first because they've recently announced that it's going to have the GNU Palm environment, or maybe G doesn't stand for GNU, it might be something else, but it's called the GPE, GNU Papa Echo environment, which it basically emulates or runs Palm applications on top of the MAEMO operating system, which is Linux, essentially. A special GUI layer that runs on the Nokia internet tablets. Well, in between my discovering an N800 and pretty much deciding I wanted one, along comes the iPhone on that fateful day from, I guess, the middle of Macworld, which coincided with CES, I believe. And so that piqued my interest. So at first I was pretty sure I wanted to get an iPhone. But upon closer inspection, I decided that there was things about the iPhone that it didn't fulfill what I define as a PDA. And that's the four basic PDA food groups: the memo pad, the to-do list, the calendar, and the address book. Those are essential, and that's what I love about the Palm operating system. That's what I adore, those little palmlets that I can't live without. So So the iPhone had a wonderful browser. I've played with one. It has an excellent kick-butt browser experience. As far as portable devices go, it's certainly the best I've ever seen. They win full marks on style. It fits like a phone, feels like a phone. Very sleek, clean lines, smooth, easy to handle, easy to work with the, I think it had a little thumb wheel deal. It's also an iPod, it's Wi-Fi, it's Bluetooth. Looked really good. But the problem was, I was starting to hear reports that the calendar wouldn't, well, the syncing was weird. I don't know what you sync with. The memo pad, if you wrote something locally on the iPhone, it wouldn't sync back up to iTunes. Nor was there any, you know, Palm has the Palm Desktop, which has the four applications in it, and it's your desktop interface to those same applications on the Palm. And turn the radio off here so you don't get the BlackBerry. And, well, it was missing a lot of those functions. It did have an address book. The address book is updatable. You can put memos, note fields in iTunes. That's long been there. And it would sync down to the device, but it wouldn't come back up. So in other words, you couldn't edit the notes or the tasks and send them back up to iTunes. So basically, iTunes was not Palm Desktop. And with only one of the fully, you know, syncable of the four that I need, it really was a poor choice for me for PDA. So attention was briefly diverted from the Nokia line, and now, you know, as of the greater part of 2007, I put my attention back on the Nokia N800. Of course, we all know now, back in October, I think, I guess it's been November now, the NA10 started shipping, and that has a GPS in it as well, which was, I already own a GPS, but it was kind of a nice plus. However, the jury's still out as to how well I can access the GPS from the operating system from an application without using their mapping software, and that's kind of useless to me because, you know, I want to be able to, like, geotag where I was when I took a photograph, or I want to somehow log my locations to web applications like ham radio, automatic position reporting system, APRS, stuff like that. You know, geeky stuff. And it didn't seem like I would be able to do that unless someone comes up with an API or some kind of way of doing that. So here comes the end of 2007, and people who know me know that I don't do New Year's resolutions. But in a sense, I do New Year's goals. I have goals for a year. And one of my chief goals for 2007 was to decide upon and purchase something to replace the Palm. Now, having said all that, here's my issues with carrying around a PDA. For 15 years, I've been either carrying around day planners, Franklin Covey planners, RIM devices, what are the old Sharp, the old Sharp Wizards, remember those guys, the Aussies, the OZs, or I even had, you know, well, the simplest form I ever had was a Sharp Data Watch, I think, or Casio. I had a Casio Data Watch that had all my phone numbers and addresses, and I think they still sell that, by the way. But the interface was clunky, it was hard to add things, you had to, you know, sit down at your table at night and pull out your address books and add them one by one. It was really slow, really clunky, didn't have a to-do list, did have a database, a very simple one, and had a phone list. So it was good for that. I mean, if nothing else, if I ever broke down and I had my cell phone, it would give me my addresses and things I needed. Well, you know, of course then, in late 1995, I discovered Newtons and Palms. I went through a series of adaptations of those devices and fell in love. I was hooked. I loved the handwriting recognition. Yes, I could actually do graffiti. Use them in every way. I did a transition at that particular year from using Franklin Covey planners and just started using Palm. Now, I did use the Franklin system. I still kind of do for to-dos, the old A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, C2, and then you, if you can't, your A's have to get done that day, and your B's should get done that day, and your C's are, if you can get them done that day, that's great, but you can move your C's and your B's rarely to the next day. And then you have this little pencil mark you make in a Franklin Covey planner and all that great hunky-dory stuff. Keeps you on track. This is long before the David Allen getting things done days, and it worked. But one of the things that they stress in Franklin Covey was you carry your planner with you everywhere, and no exceptions. And it gets old. I mean, you're carrying around this, it's like being in school again. You're carrying around this 3-ring binder, and mine was big. I had one of the big fat ones because I had all these reference sheets, and being a Unix sysadmin, I had passwords, and you know, this is sort of pre-electronic database days with security, so I had IP addresses, phone numbers, vendor contacts, network maps, everything I thought I would need when I was on call and on the road or, you know, doing some kind of remote support. 50% of my servers in those days were in Ohio, in Cincinnati, Ohio, and 50 were in Orlando, 50%. So I had pictures of the equipment I'd store in there. It was a paper version, a very, you know, version 1.0 personal assistant technology. So anyway, in 1996, I did away with all that and went to Palm, translated everything into my Palm. I didn't do pictures, the early ones. Palm OS 2, it was black and white. So it wasn't perfect. Occasionally, I would still carry the Franklin Covey with all the hard copy. And of course, I got a laptop, 1997, and that replaced the Franklin Covey altogether because in the laptop, I could put all the pictures and the network maps and remote, you know, secure the passwords, encrypt them, and all that stuff, and that replaced the highly insecure paper copy, so that was a boon, but still meant you had to carry a laptop around with you, and in those days, they were pretty hefty, still pretty big. So my love affair with the Palm flourished, my life changed. I was much more productive and much more in control of my day with my Palm. And once in a while, the Palm 3 would, I've actually cracked the glass, I've dropped it, things have dropped on it. I've replaced my Palm 3X 3 times. I started with a 3, which was 4 megabytes, and I quickly needed to move up to 8 megabytes, which is the largest in the day that you could get, so I got a Palm 3X. And quickly began to run out of space on that. So then I moved up to a 5X and then started looking at the handspring and the visors. They still didn't have any more memory than 8 megabyte. And then, of course, the Cliés came out in 2001, I think I recall. And some of the early Cliés had memory sticks and so forth. That's where I'm at today with a Clié and a, I think I have a 2 gigabyte stick in there right now. So, but it's still carrying something. I'm still carrying this bulky Clié. And even in the Palm 3, if you remember with the Palm 3 and the Palm 5, they were very slimline. They could fit in your shirt pocket. I used to have a rule that when my wife bought me shirts for work, they had to have a pocket. That was an absolute rule. And because of that, I would tend to bend over and the Palm would slide right out and crack on the floor. So I eventually got these Rhino cases. They're hard shell cases. And I would keep my 3 and my Palm 5s in those shell cases so that when they did fall out, it wouldn't crack or destroy them. And my Palm 5X, I've owned since 1998. Or 99, and still have it, still works. It's in a drawer now. I don't use it every day, but the battery, believe it or not, still charges. Now, you know, I don't use it didn't use it very much. It didn't have color, didn't have web apps, didn't have networking. So I only used it to check database functions and PDA functions. But it it lasted quite a while. I still have it in the hard shell case. So that's my emergency palm when I, if the Clié ever breaks, I can bounce back to that in a hurry. So here's something I got to carry with me. So when the iPhone came out, I viewed this as a small device with a touch screen. That's important. I have to have a touch screen that I could carry in a cell phone pouch on my belt, or theoretically in a pocket, and I wouldn't have to remember to carry it. I mean, it would just be there. One of the things about me is I'm very forgetful, and I'm in love with Velcro, especially military, police, pouches, and surplus military gear. I like to buy from the police catalogs like Gauls, Golf, Alpha, Lima, Lima, Sierra, and those kind of things. And I like the heavy-duty stitching Velcro straps that I put on my belt. I typically carry, I have this recorder, which is an Olympus WS-300 recorder. I have a iPod pouch that I keep this and the iPod in as I walk around, because I learned very early, by the way, to have a recorder with me, because you never know when an idea will pop into your head, and you got to record it, it'll go out. And sometimes it's easier just to record an audio segment to myself than it is to take the palm out and write it down. So I'm a two-fisted, PDA user, because not only do I use digital devices, or I should say handwriting devices, but I also use audio devices as well to save information to myself. And like in the car, like I'm doing now, I could record my thoughts and put them down, so can't use your PDA in the car. So anyway, here comes 2008, and I haven't made a decision, and I really hadn't found what I was looking for. The N800 form factor was pretty close. It would fit in my pocket. It has a nice leather case. It has a nice little stand that unfolds as part of the unit. Just a tad too big, but I could carry it. If that was all I ever could get out of life, I could live with that. I'd be happy. But as I say, it broke, and its quality came into question. I really didn't want to take a chance on another one, and wasn't sure if this is a design flaw or why this unit wasn't working well. So then the N810 came out, and the N810 actually looks like an iPhone in terms of form factor and size. Actually, it's a slight bit bigger, but it has that cell phone, round, smooth, BlackBerry Pearl kind of feel to it. A little bigger, and it has a fold-out keyboard, which, by the way, that's not a big thing to me. I can, as long as I have a touch screen, I use the stylus, and I can tap on the keyboards. It doesn't have the handwriting recognition, I grant you that, but I can keyboard pretty fast. So that's a plus. So now I'm considering getting an N810, because it fits that form factor that I'm looking for. Problem is, it still doesn't have the palm apps. Still, one of the things deficient in the N800, I finally did download a calendar application, which didn't look bad. I didn't know how to sync it with a desktop, even if it was Linux. I hadn't quite figured that out. I think it was the GPE calendar. And I still didn't have a good to-do solution. There were memos on there, of course. And address book, it had that. And I believe that I could sync the address book, although I hadn't had a chance to play with that yet. So if I solve those four problems in an iPhone or an N810, I'll be set. So now here comes 2008, and I haven't made a decision yet. as to which device, and this task drags on. So, not sure what we're going to do at this point, but here's an open rant to Palm. Why, after all these years, Palm, have you not put a Linux-type operating system on your Palm handhelds? What is up with that? I don't understand why this is difficult. And when you did come out with a Folio, or plan to come out with a Folio, why was this device more like a laptop or a UMPC? That just doesn't make sense. And I don't really want a smartphone either. What I want is, I would like to have Evdo in it. But what I want is a Palm unit with a touchscreen. I guess what I want is an iPhone with Palm apps in it. That's not likely to happen anytime soon. And I don't see this lack of Palm apps or PDA applications being addressed by Apple anytime soon. So that leads me back to the 810, you know. But I don't understand why Palm hasn't created this device. What, are they asleep up there? I mean, I don't get what they're thinking. The Palm operating, I mean, the essentials of the Palm operating system, meaning the look and feel, the Palm applications, the tightness, the sharpness of the color applications, the nice sharp icons, the ability that there's a zero startup time. I love all that. That's what's very admirable about the Palm OS. The syncing, the IR, the infrared beaming. And by the way, what happened to that? Why don't people put IR ports on these gadgets anymore? Everything's Bluetooth. Well, Bluetooth is nice, but it's not... I don't see too many syncing applications for Bluetooth. I mean, infrared was perfect. So I don't... You know, I guess Bluetooth is supposed to replace infrared, but I'm not seeing that happening so much. And here comes the greater rant, and this is going to cap off this Palmcast. This Palmcast. That's nice. I like that. This podcast. And it's a rant to everybody out there. Why no one uses their Palms anymore? What's up with that? Granted, only 20% of the population in the 90s used a Palm or a Newton. But when you met a fellow Palm user, you would have your business card, you'd do a quick V, and you'd beam your business card to that person, say, oh, here, I see you're a Palm user, and then all of a sudden, you know, Windows CE came out, and the little compact iPacks, and the Windows gadgets came out, and that all went away, and people just stopped doing it, and I don't understand why people, and now I don't even see people using PDAs at all anymore. America, the world, what's happened to you? Why do you not use the PDA that you learned to use in the 90s? What happened to that? Did Windows dumb you down? I mean, you people with smartphones, is that what you call a PDA nowadays? I mean, that's an address book, maybe some memos. It's certainly lacking on the to-dos and all everything else. I don't see you use it. I go to meetings. I go to public meetings. I go to business meetings. I go to geek gatherings. I don't see people pulling out their Palms anymore. I remember when half the room would have these little fold-out keyboards, and they'd have a Palm 5 or a, you know, whatever, they'd have this little folding keyboard, and they'd plug their Palm into it, and they'd start tapping away for their notes. What happened to all that, people? Where are you? What are you using in place of that? I don't think you're using anything. I think we've lost our PDA skills. And by that, we've lost our productivity skills. I don't see Franklin Cubbies anymore either. So it isn't that. I think that our productivity has gone out the window. We just don't do it anymore. It became a burden, and people just basically said, well, I have a smartphone. It's got my core database functions in it, and I'm just not going to bother. I see people with notebooks, scraps of paper, sticky notes, sometimes nothing at all. You know, there's work assignments being handed out, and they pretty much rely on the meeting coordinator to send them an email later with their action items. I mean, come on. What is with you all? I mean, this is just poor skill. I'm sorry if I'm going to tick off some people, but this is just, I can't believe it. I go to these meetings and I take my notes in my palm, and people look at you almost like you're nuts anymore, like you're from from the 90s or something. I don't understand this. So, America, I don't get why you've abandoned your PDA heritage. And you don't use these things anymore. People aren't beaming their business cards to each other any longer. We're not even using V cards anymore. I don't see iCal being used. I mean, Mac has some unique solutions for this as well. And I don't see those being used by and large. So I do invite comments about, I mean, I always invite comments, but I particularly invite comments about this topic. Let's see, what else can I rant about? PDAs. I think that's it. I mean, it looks like I'm going to replace this Clié with another new palm. I've essentially figured out that you have to separate these functions. The phone can simply not do it all. The phone is a great connectivity device. It can do your web browsing. It can look up online information. I could capitulate, I could get an iPhone, and I could put all these functions on a web server. I could put my to-do list, my address book, my memos. I could put all that up on a web server, a secure one with SSL, and I could use the iPhone to access that on the web, assuming that I have an edge signal somewhere in the world, wherever I happen to be. Doesn't help me outside the United States for the most part. So doesn't seem like that's the good solution. So I ask once again, how are we going to bridge the gap between the Palm and smartphones? I don't see it. You've got the Trio. The Trio has a lot of reliability issues as just a piece of hardware. And in the latest Trio, I think the 700 is Windows only. So it's pretty clear the Palm's abandoning its own operating system and going to Windows. Well, if you're just going to be a Windows clone selling Windows hardware, what good is that? So anyway, that's how I see the state of personal digital assistants today. Maybe I'm a dinosaur. Maybe just we've evolved to the point where we don't need these gadgets any longer. Maybe I'm just falling behind and I don't get it. So. Edumacate me, please. Send me comments. Send me email. TMR@kevininsko.com. Tango. Sorry, somebody's weaving in and out of traffic here. Tango. Montgomery Romeo. @kevininsko.com. Email. You can send me a wave, an MP3. Send me an email, whatever. I'll read it on the podcast. There's a MyChingo link at themorningreport.info, which I pay $3 a month for, so nobody's going to use it. I'll probably take it off, but it you can sit there on your desktop and record comments into it, and it will send me a voicemail, I guess, essentially. And I can cut and paste that into the podcast. So there's several ways of doing this. I'm looking at getting a Skype in and a Skype out. For business and other reasons, but if I do that, I can also receive comments on a Skype line as well. So I think that's going to wrap it up, but that's my view of things. I'm pretty much going to go back to Palm, a new Palm, because I'm getting tired of this Clié. It's kind of bulky and old-fashioned, so I may just get like a Life Drive as the Palm device, as my personal database, and then I may later in the year get an iPhone as my web-enabled device, or I may get a Nokia N810 and try to make do. I'm still, believe it or not, a year and a half later, I still haven't come to this conclusion. I can't believe this. You'd think it would be an extremely easy decision, but it's not. So anyway, that's it. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. This has been the Morning Report. We'll see you next time.
This is just so brutal, and yet I can't look away. Bert, play it again. Come on.
Newton's about a lot of things, really.
I think the part that excites me the most
has to do with helping people keep in touch.
The idea behind Newton is that it's an assistant, something that actively helps you as you capture, organize, and communicate your ideas and information.
The possibilities are just limitless.
When you think about it, the most natural way to get your thoughts down is to jot or to sketch.
We wanted Newton to be that natural.
It can either leave what you write in electronic ink, or it can clean it up and organize it for you.
I don't know about you, but I can't draw to save my life.
But with Newton, it's a completely different story.
People said to us, wouldn't it be great if you could design something that would allow you to take notes in your natural way and have Newton format them for you?
So that's what we did.
Newton's intelligent enough to take your messy notes and sketches and turn them into a letter. It'll even put graphics where they look best, and in general make the letter look more professional. From there, all you have to do is plug a printer into your Newton, and you're off.
When you're done, Newton even has a smart way of getting rid of your trash.
Say you're on a train or a plane or at a little cafe.
You can write a fax.
Say you want to send that fax to Margaret.
You just highlight Margaret's name in the text, tap fax.
And Newton will automatically fill out a fax cover sheet with Margaret's number on it.
We've built in Newton intelligence so that Newton knows enough about what you're trying to do to help you do it.
The beauty of Newton is that any page you have in your Newton can be sent through email.
Text, graphics, pages from your calendar, business cards.
You just select email and, well, you send it.
Simple as that.
It seems to happen all the time these days. You're expecting a really important message, but you can't guarantee you're going to be easy to reach.
By just getting the Newton messaging card, you can get your message wherever you go. You can share anything that's in your Newton with anyone else. Using Newton's built-in infrared networking capability, you can beam things to other people.
It's pretty handy in meetings to just be able to send someone something instantly. Your business card, or the notes, or a calendar page. But Newton's even smarter than that. Everything's interconnected. You can get a message that someone wants to schedule a meeting with you.
You can ask Newton to assist you. Newton will automatically put it on your calendar.
You can even jot notes to jog your memory later or set an alarm.
Or add a task to your to-do list.
Kind of a communication center or a universal inbox and outbox.
I have way too much information in my life.
I keep a calendar on my desktop computer.
I keep a Rolodex file on my desktop computer.
The Newton Connection Kit lets you connect your Newton to your PC or your Macintosh and share and store information.
But it even comes with software that makes sure that the most up-to-date information gets put in both places.
For example, if there's new calendar entries on your PC, they automatically get booked on your Newton, and vice versa.
This is all about being in charge of your life, being able to have information so you can keep in touch with people.
It's going to help you keep track of your time and your contacts, but it's going to do it in a way that's not intrusive to your lifestyle.
I'd say that Newton is really peace of mind, right in the palm of your hand.
You know, one of the best things about Newton is that it can understand your handwriting. That's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Now, some people find that it takes a little bit of practice. So in the next couple minutes, we're going to show you a few tips and techniques that'll make it even easier for Newton to interpret what you're doing.
What's incredible is that Newton actually learns how you write. As you use Newton, it learns and adapts to your personal style.
The result is that your Newton will fine-tune itself to your handwriting better than anyone else's.
And one of the key things about Newton is that it looks to recognize entire words instead of individual characters. And because it's looking for words as opposed to letters, it's important to write neatly and not pause in the middle of a word. If you pause in the middle of writing a word, Newton thinks you're finished and tries to recognize what you've written. And if you're finished writing a word, don't go back to improve on your handwriting or correct it, even if Newton hasn't recognized it yet. When you go back, it throws Newton off. And that's because Newton figures out what you're writing based in part on the timing and sequence of your handwriting. When writing a sentence, leave some space between the words, even exaggerate it a little bit, so Newton can tell when you finish one word and started another. If you write two words too close together, Newton may read them as a single word. Finally, an important and very basic technique is to just write as simply and neatly as you can. Be sure you cross your T's and dot your I's, make your O's look like O's and your A's look like A's. It's common sense, really, but it makes a big difference in how well Newton can interpret your writing.
You know, Newton's pretty smart, but it's not always going to get your handwriting right. Like anyone, it can make mistakes. If it does, it's really simple to fix. If Newton gets a word wrong, tap on the word twice, you'll see a list of its best guesses. Find the right word, select it, Newton corrects the mistake. There's over 10,000 words in here. There's a lot of words Newton knows, but certain kinds of words, things like last names, street addresses, they're not going to be built in. When you write one of those words, Newton's going to give you its best guess. Here's the cool thing. You can teach Newton new words. After you write a word and you want to teach it to Newton, just double tap on the word. Then tap the keyboard icon. Now you can enter the word. Newton will ask you if you want to add it to your word list. Tap yes, Newton remembers the word. The next time you write it, Newton gets it right. Now if the word's only slightly misread, let's say one letter's off, no problem. Just write the correct letter on top of the one you want to change.
Scrubbing is the way that you take and delete a single word or a single letter simply by stroking up and down through it four times to make it disappear. Make sure the zigzag is taller and wider than the word or letter that you've chosen to delete. You can select a word first so Newton knows exactly which word you're trying to scrub. You select a word like you do anything else on the screen. Hold down the pen for a moment until a heavy mark appears, then draw through the word to select it. You can review all these tips and techniques on the quick reference card and the handbook that came with your Newton.
You're ready to try your handwriting on Newton. There's two great places to start. The game on the Getting Started card and the handwriting practice area both let you write words on Newton and learn more about how Newton recognizes your handwriting. As you write, you're giving Newton information about your style. Newton takes that info and learns and keeps track of how you write.
Your setup guide has instructions on using the Getting Started card. So, why don't you go to your setup guide now and get started?
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.